Hello. Thank you for tuning into the For What For Who podcast. My name is Courtney Croucher, and I'm really excited to have you here. I've always been obsessed with self-development and pop culture and everything that influences how we live our lives, which is why we're here today, because I believe that with everything you do, every decision you make, for what, for who, my intention is for this to be a resource for people who want to have better relationships, health, professional growth, balance in your lives, and self-love. Subscribe to hear my journey along with special guests every Monday for a blunt approach to living life unapologetically on your terms. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited to be bringing you a guest today. I am not talking to myself. I am talking to an amazing friend, Megan Vandebars. She is the founder and director of VDB Communications, a PR and hospitality agency, and she's a Toronto fitness instructor. Megan, welcome to For What For Who podcast. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. So honored. It's been a goal for a long time to be on a podcast. So I'm very grateful to be here and also just to reconnect with you. It's been way too long and so much has happened.
I know, it's crazy. I have known you now for a couple of years and so much has changed.
It's a journey.
Oh my gosh, we've gone from both wanting to move to Vancouver. I moved to Vancouver. You stayed where you were, but now I'm coming back to you. So
full circle moment and a couple LA trips in between for
exactly.
Both.
Exactly. Yeah, literally. We're still both this bi-coastal, like East Coast, West Coast girls. I live downtown, so you're probably hearing the sirens, but that's okay. And we're going to roll with it. I'm so grateful that this is your first podcast. This is so cool.
Yeah, couldn't think of anyone better to do
it. I'm so excited. Amazing. Well, we were talking off air a little bit, and I want to give people context because when I met you, you had originally just moved in from corporate PR to starting your own agency and going independent. Mm-hmm. I would love to know some of like that background and history of your PR career and then what kind of encouraged you to transition into doing your own thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think to start, you know, I never, ever considered owning my own business until 18 months ago. Never thought of myself as an entrepreneur. I was very happy climbing the corporate ladder. I had, you know, big plans to move within my company and eventually be a VP, a PR one day. But to kind of take it all the way back to the beginning, I'm originally from Florida. I went to school at Florida State and I went to hospitality school there. So after graduation, I was lucky enough to get an opportunity with Fairmont Hotels and Resorts and do their management trainee program. So they asked me to pick five locations. And, you know, California was a top choice, New York, Chicago, London, UK. And my dad is actually Canadian. So just to sound, you know, extra worldly and that I had the passport, I threw in Toronto. I've never been to Canada before, knew nothing about it, truly nothing, like Googling, like, oh, that's what the CN Tower looks like. American geography is not good. So anyways, that was thrown in as option number five. And sure enough, 10 days later, I got a phone call from someone who actually ended up being the biggest influence and biggest supporter in my career, their regional director of HR, saying that, you know, great news. There's an opening at the Royal York in Toronto and we're ready to have you in about 2 weeks. And I'm just like, oh, fuck, this is really not what I had planned for. I had a boyfriend in Florida who was like pretty much prepared to move, I think, within the U.S. with me. But moving to Canada was not really part of the conversations. But I had no choice, and I definitely felt like Fairmont was the right place for me. So 2 weeks later, my dad and I drove from Florida to Toronto, having mental breakdowns the entire way there, as usual. And when I walked into the Royal York, this is one of the largest hotels in North America, over 1,300 rooms. Wow. They were sold out very, very regularly. And I just remember thinking, like, I am very in over my head. What have I done? I miss Florida State. I miss my sorority. I miss all these comfortable things in my life, but it really was the best move that I ever could have done. I was thrown into the front desk. I'll be honest, I was not good at front desk. I have a file somewhere where there's a letter saying if I check another guest into the wrong room, I will be fired from Fairmont. So
that is hilarious. So funny though. I didn't know you hadn't like known of Canada at all. No. Like I knew we were both dual citizen. That was something we've always had in common because I was born in Michigan. You were born in Florida, but I did not realize you had never been to Canada before this. That's wild.
No, it was not crossing my mind at all. And I have to shout out to my dad. When I was 12, he pushed for me to get the Canadian passport. I'm like, why would I ever use that? But Toronto.
That's wild.
Really meant to be 100%.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool though, that you like, you mentioned and own the fact that it was mental breakdowns the entire time. Like, yeah. It was so scary. But now looking back, it was one of the most pivotal choices you've made.
Exactly. And you have to go so outside your comfort zone for any kind of growth. And I loved Florida State, but it was so, I don't know, everyone was the same. Like we're all in a sorority. I'm surrounded by 200 girls at all time. I live with my three best friends. Right. We're going to the same bars. You know, my boyfriend is always where he says he's going to be and all this stuff. So I was definitely plateauing. So it was time.
Okay. Yeah. So that was like the safe option. And then the risk was moving to Toronto, taking this job at this massive hotel, really going for it. You start at the front desk. You almost got fired.
Yeah.
How did you climb into being in PR?
So before PR, I actually spent 13 months in housekeeping. So anyone actually who's interested in doing hospitality PR, I definitely recommend working in operations to get an understanding and real respect of how those jobs work. So again, regular mental breakdowns every day for those 13 months, but that made me, to be honest, took things very personally before. I needed everyone to like me, and working in housekeeping, it really helped to kind of get that kicked out of me. So that was great. And then my time in Toronto was supposed to be wrapping up. My original contract was just 18 months. So in the last month, I got a phone call saying, great news, the regional director of PR, marketing, and sales needs some extra help. Do you basically want to be his assistant for a month? I was crying. I was so happy because first of all, this meant Monday to Friday. I hadn't had a weekend off in almost 18 months and just a normal sense of schedule. And I really didn't understand what sales and marketing did. I just felt like I belonged in that department. So the first month was great. I was like, wow, this is definitely where I belong. The PR coordinator couldn't come to work anymore. It was very abrupt and a bit mysterious, still not sure what happened. She's fine though. So I ended up being a very temporary fill-in to help the marketing manager. And from day one, I was like, wow, why did I not think about this before? Like I was helping with, you know, photo shoots and social media and meeting partners. And all of a sudden it's like, I felt like shit, honestly, for 17 months because I wasn't excelling in housekeeping or at front desk. And now finally I'm like, oh, like I'm not an idiot. I was just in the wrong place. So immediately discovered my love for it. They were actually pushing for me to move to another Fairmont location, but said I could still apply for the PR coordinator role, but that they had had other candidates who went to school for it. Please still try, but don't be offended because you probably won't get this job. So I'm like, okay, literally getting ready to pack my things to move from Toronto. And I had my interviews, and I just want to shout her out, the marketing manager, Jessica Bertolo. She's one of my greatest friends. She didn't care that I didn't have, you know, the textbook experience or go to school for it. She saw something in me, and because of her, she is another person who completely changed my life. She went to bat for me and just said, listen, it's the personality. She has it. Like you can train skills, you cannot train personality, and PR is so specific for that. So
yeah, that's amazing.
Very grateful for her. And then we got the job and that was amazing. So I was there for 2 years, learned so much. And I started to really focus on social media and influencers. So as the hotel was going through a $500 million renovation, no big deal. I was able to create a whole separate position, the social media manager. So that was awesome. Great experience. And then our friend, the pandemic hit. So that obviously changed everything. Before the pandemic, I was on track to move across the world somewhere that I can't exactly say, but it was going to be a huge life shift and promotion for me and the exact dream job that I had hoped for. But with the pandemic, we unfortunately had to temporarily lay off 900 people in one day, one of the craziest days of my whole career. Before the pandemic, I was lucky enough to have this amazing PR and marketing team with, you know, photographer, graphic designer, PR coordinator, PR manager. It was a stacked team and we could have done so much and we did do so much.
Yeah.
But then, you know, because of this, they decided to keep me, especially because I had a strong hold on.
Holy shit, eh?
Yeah. And that was the beginning. I don't want to call it the beginning of the end for me with corporate job, but this was a really life-changing moment, because if the pandemic hadn't happened, I would have done said move and probably continued the corporate ladder.
You literally wouldn't be where you are today.
No, not at all. So much wouldn't have happened.
Do you play that scenario out in your head a lot?
Yes. And I'm, you know, the pandemic, I don't want to be insensitive, was obviously horrible and not good, but for me, like, there can be good in everything. And the time I got with myself in the pandemic and really narrowing what I really wanted changed everything. And I have absolutely no regrets. Like, I was meant to break out and go on my own.
I'm in the same boat. Like, that's the way I view it as well. I mean, of course, we can recognize how deadly it was to the world. And of course, it was like a virus that, yeah, it was a lot. But what we learned from that time, I think, is so, so crucial to recognize, because this was the first time in history we've had a literal, like, global shutdown. Exactly. There's been stuff that's happened where, oh, it impacted, oh, that's a thing that's happening in East Asia. Oh, that's an American thing. Oh, you know, not something that's literally impacted everywhere. So I think it's a time in history we're always going to study, but also the people who have lived through it, like us, we can remember that those exact dates.
Key moments, yeah, that changed your life, truly.
Like, literally the entire trajectory. Like, what I wanted, you know, before March 13, 2020 was very different than what I could say now. So it's very freaky to reflect on. But how cool. Like, I mean,
just finding the good in everything. That's a whole mantra of my life. And I think before I was just always like going, like working crazy hours and events. And like, I got really immersed in the Toronto social scene and partying and working out. And I didn't have a second to think like, wait, is this what I actually want in my life? Yeah. So again, for me, the time to slow down, it was so uncomfortable, but it was really needed.
Absolutely. So in that time, you decided you were going to branch out on your own.
Yes, the hardest decision I've ever made. Harder than any breakup for almost any family dynamic I've been through. I did stay for a whole year through the pandemic, and very grateful, because I got my hands back on so much PR, digital marketing that I hadn't touched since I became the social media manager. So that was really great. But I started to get inquiries about, you know, helping these smaller businesses with their social media and all of that. And I ended up taking some on, which I was already working far too much at my corporate job. So to throw on additional clients plus training to be a spin instructor, I was asking for burnout. So
absolutely. Yeah. So what did that look like? Like, do you remember what the like morning to night looked like of a schedule of that? Like, you wake up, I feel like you're someone who wakes up like 5, 6 a.m.
Yes. So the other plot twist, I was living out in Etobicoke, which is very far from the spin studio that I was training at. So I had to wake up at 5:30 a.m. every day. I did spin training from 6:30 to 8:30. By the time I got out at 8:30, usually shit was already hitting the fan with my corporate job. So you know that feeling you come out and you're immediately just like, boom, like hit in the face.
Cortisol skyrockets. You're like high on endorphins, but like now you want to cry because you're so stressed out suddenly. It's like too much at once. Like the adrenaline starts pumping.
Exactly. You go from having like the best. And the spin training process was a whole other thing. Some days I did not leave happy. So.
And Sweat and Tonic is near Eaton Center, isn't it?
Yeah, right across.
Okay, yeah. Okay, if anyone's listening in Canada, like it's not a fun commute from Etobicoke at all. So that would be brutal as well to be able to like to really map that out in the day to day. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, that's already rough. That's a rough
one. The GO train was barely running because pandemic hours. Like that alone, I remember sitting on the GO train going home or to there just being like, what is my life?
So. Yeah, that's brutal. Okay, so you're doing this, you're by 8:30, your corporate job's pretty much shits in the fan already. Yeah. Are you working like 8:30 to 4:30 or 9 to 5?
No. I don't want to be too negative because I love where I worked, but it was like 12 to 14 hours a day, I would say. And, you know, I didn't necessarily always have to physically be there, but just being online and dealing with a lot, like internal communications was a whole thing in itself. And then social media and, you know, one of my funnest projects, but one that almost took me over the edge. We opened this patio and it was incredible. But when we opened the patio, reservations sold out within like 2 hours. The demand was through the roof. Like the QR codes for the menus weren't working on day one. I have like Globe and Mail there. I have a videographer there. I have influencers calling my cell phone being like, oh my God, when can I come? And it was just like, oh my God, I'm one person.
That is insane. And there's only like, I know you can handle a lot, but I cannot imagine.
Some moments, yes, where I was just like really needing a little bit of extra help and just feeling so stretched, but again, amazing experience. I don't know how else I would.
It's how you've gotten to where you are somehow, some way. But like, you're also a Virgo too, which I freaking love because you're so so organized and everything. But I want to know, like, in those like PR crises, like you know those moments where you're like, shit is hitting the fan.
Yeah,
you have Globe and Mail there. You have this happening, whatever. Are you like in go mode? Do you feel like you're like full clarity, or are you like actually crying in the bathroom, or both?
So I think I've noticed a big shift in myself in the last 3 years. I was definitely crying in the bathroom girl when I first started my career. And it would be like phone calls to my friends and just like, I needed to be talked off the ledge. Now I feel like I've just seen too much to get super frazzled. So it's, you know, I do get stressed still because I like to be so organized. And when things don't go according to plan, it like kills me a little bit inside. But, you know, now I just take a deep breath and my lists are so important. Like when there's a crisis situation, I just have to write down one at a time, what do I need to get done? What's priority 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? And then I just get to work. And every time one's done, we cross it off, we cross it off, we cross it off. And I think just gaining confidence too, because I've always had a really good ability of reading people and being in tune with emotions. And, you know, when you're working in PR and there's crises going on, you're dealing with like senior leadership and stuff. Sometimes you just have to be that person of comfort to be like, listen, we've got this. Like, I have a plan. Here's my plan. And you have to be confident to be like, I have it handled. Here's my plan. Instead of just sitting and waiting for someone above you to give the plan to you, just being proactive has been.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like that would, I mean, you would have to gain some form of confidence in that to be successful, because even when you're still like, holy shit, is this going to work? Like whatever the plan is, just knowing what you've been able to handle previously, you're like, well, I've been able to do X, Y, Z. So why can't I handle this? And it's that same thing I always go back to. Like Ed Milet says, confidence comes from the promises you keep to yourself. And so when you've shown up in other ways, not only in your life, but in your business, and have handled so many other situations that could be similar, you just know you've been able to do it. You've shown up each time. So what is different about this specific situation, right? And doesn't make it easy, but it just, you know, internally that like, I'm okay. And I have the tools and skills to handle this.
Do it. And just thinking back in the beginning, like if I could move to Toronto alone when I knew nothing and conquer a huge hotel like that, like I know so much more now and I know it just keeps going. So I'm excited. I live for the chaos. I hate the chaos, but I secretly live for it. So it makes you stronger for sure.
Absolutely. And you were doing your instructing or spin instructing, what do you call that, certification at the time?
Yeah, exactly.
All while you're building your business?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
So you're working long hours. Are you going to bed? Are you having a social? I mean, I guess it's pandemic. So like, what does that look like in the evenings?
I get, my social life was non-existent, but that was kind of everyone's position right now. So I would, you know, in the morning I would do the spin, during the day do the Royal York, at night there was usually still some things filtering with the Royal York, and then I would do the other clients. And then the other thing I was doing was PR school, because I wanted to finally get this certification. So I was not the most balanced lifestyle. It was an extreme crash course, but again, no regrets. It made me, and it dealt kind of helped me prioritize things. But I did have a personal relationship, and I lived with someone, and that plummeted. So something
something has to give eventually, unfortunately. But I mean, it's I think it's so inspiring that you use that time where like everyone was kind of going insular. Mm. And I mean, if people didn't use that time in a specific way, I'm not saying that that is any judgment attached to this, but I think it's really cool when only you had to motivate yourself. No one was telling you do all these things. Like you took on all these things, even at your own detriment. And we're like, kind of just said, screw it, I'm doing it all. And I mean, that requires a lot of grit and a lot of energy and a lot of focus. And a, like, because especially if you think of like building your own business, becoming a spin instructor, those are two things where people are looking at you. You are on that podium. You are, you know, that right. And so the confidence and like the ability to trust yourself within that is really quite incredible. So that's like really inspirational to hear. What do you think kind of drove you through that really hard period of time when you were doing all of those certifications, building your business, working your full time, and doing the PR school?
The simplest answer and a shallow answer, I was tired of being broke. Like I was tired of, you know, I literally started to slip into a mindset of like, maybe I'm just going to be one of those people that just like has to marry someone who's wealthier. And I was like, hold up. Nope. 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 This is not, I'm too smart. I'm have too much going for me to think that I'm just not using my talents properly. So that was the major driving force. I'm like, I want independence. Like I want to, you know, not go crazy, but I want a savings account. I don't want to live paycheck to paycheck anymore. I want to be able to take trips, and I want to be able to buy my sister a nice birthday present. Like it was just stressful to have all this going, but over the last 6 years prior, I had the money stress. So it's almost like one stress was switched for the other at
least. For sure.
Once. So
that makes sense though. And I think it's, I didn't expect that answer, but I'm really glad that you said that, because I don't think people talk about that enough though, because women, it's, I think there's something, a taboo around being money motivated as a woman.
Exactly. They're definitely, it's getting better, but I mean, even in the last year, I've just been like, wait, why is this a bad thing? I should be happy that that's where my mind is going. And all respect to people who, you know, that's not their motivation, but for me, it makes me the most happy to be independent. And for me, it's healthy in a relationship to depend on someone because of a financial reason.
Right. Yeah. I think everyone has like, there's pros and cons to staying in 9 to 5s, pros and cons to being your entrepreneur, whatever, all those things. Right. But I think finding what works for you, and also just, it's not even about like, you know, the money or this and that. It's like, what is working for you? And if you feel like you're meant for more than what the life you're currently living is,
you have to,
something's got to change. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is, whether you are, you know, maybe you're that major CEO and you realize one day you just want to be a mom. Okay. Yeah. Like it can be the flip side too. Right. So whatever it is, if you have that little itch inside of you, that's kind of starting to burn, like you got to follow that because life is too damn short.
Exactly. And if you don't follow it, that's when the resentment kicks in. And that's what I recognized at my corporate job. I was like, I'm usually a very sunny, positive person, and I'm feeling like everything is annoying me right now. So this is before I go and, you know, ruin this reputation that I've taken years to build. It's time to separate.
For sure. It's good that you recognize when you did before burning bridges and like exploding, because it can get to that point. I've been there.
Yes. It's very tempting to, you know, flip the desk, shut the computer and be like, I quit. But
yeah. Elisa Rinna throwing the glass at the table. Like I've been there, of like that feeling of just like
rage.
Yes, right. Yeah. But when you look at, well, especially being in PR, right? Like looking at the reputation and your personal brand, you don't want that for yourself. But also, I think deep down, those moments that can make us, give us a certain title are true to our core, and we know we're better than that. And so it's really being able to recognize that and see where we can shift before disaster strikes. And you said being proactive earlier. So, I mean, being even proactive within our own disasters.
Exactly. No self-sabotage, and just knowing when it's your time to go, whether that could be in a business, in a friendship, in a relationship, like don't let it get worse. You know, it's time to go. Just, it sucks and it's painful and it's scary, but.
And leaving on a high note, someone talked to me about this. It was actually her friend who shared this, where in a conversation, he doesn't like to exhaust the topic too long. He likes to leave on a high note. So it's kind of this thing leave where you exit.
Leave them wanting more.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's a little bit more enticing, and that like person feels really good. And it's not like any manipulative thing. It's just you don't exhaust the topic too long. Yeah. There's a true interest there. And then you respect each other's like mutual time and energy. And it's just a really cool way to leave. And so I've been thinking about this ever since she shared this with me. And I think that it goes, that same principle goes for, like you just said, leaving a job, moving, leaving a relationship, friendship, whatever it may be, leaving on a high note, then you're not having that resentment within yourself, within that person. And it might be, you might just escape the ugliness that comes with that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that it's going to be pretty, but it might be a little less messy. And I feel like even that's where I am with moving from Vancouver right now. I love Vancouver, but I know it's not for me. So I'm leaving now before I start to grow to hate it.
That's very smart.
Yeah. Now, with all of these things, like there's been a theme of having to trust yourself and build confidence and no longer be the girl crying in the bathroom and all of this, right? Where do you think, what do you think has shifted that confidence and finding that sense of self with your personal and life and business?
Mm-hmm. I think just knowing the move to Toronto, I always reflect back on that. I'm like, you dropped everything, started from zero, had no friends. Your routine was totally, completely revamped. When I was 17, I also moved to Shanghai. So I revisited that a lot. I think when you disrupt your life, the confidence that can come out of it, there's nothing like it. So I just, again, felt like I was hitting a plateau. It is time to disrupt. The two best decisions I had ever made before this disruption was the move to Shanghai and the move to Toronto. So I've done it before. I did it when I was much younger and knew much less. So, you know, it's going to be okay. I've had amazing, amazing friends definitely throughout it that have been incredible and have helped me through all of this. And finding my love for fitness, you know, as sometimes demanding the spin training was, it was an outlet. It was, you know, this time where I'm actually not thinking about these corporate dramas and my own business and what's going on. You're forced to shut it out. And the confidence I gained from, you know, taking my first spin class, I said, one day I'm going to teach a spin class. And everyone's like, you're not a fitness person. Where is this coming from? But I'm like, nope, mark my words, I'm going to do it. And it's like Ed Milet said, you gain confidence when you keep the promises that you made to yourself. So when I became an instructor, I was like, I said I was going to do this and I did it. And there were hundreds of hours that went into it. It would have been so easy to be like, I'm starting my own business, like I should just focus on that. No, I'm like, I said I wanted to do this. This makes me happy and I'm going to do it. So each spin class, honestly, I come out feeling like the happiest person on earth. So it's really helped my confidence, and it's somewhere I don't have to be PR Megan. It's like,
You live a Hannah Montana double life.
Exactly. Playing our Britney Spears every Saturday. So honestly, I think having a side passion that gives you confidence and happiness can really help in all other
areas. That's awesome. That's so cool. What you just said actually really like struck something within me that I haven't thought about in a while. And when I moved to Vancouver, I had a similar position of, well, not necessarily, it wasn't into a different country, but like I had no friends here. I had like nothing here. It was very spontaneous, like all of that. Yes. And so it helped build my confidence a lot in the last year and a half. And so I had said that I wanted to move to Vancouver, but I hadn't really been here before. It was this weird fascination I had with this side of the world or Canada. And my cousin said something at like Thanksgiving when I had come home to visit. I had been here for a little bit. And she said, you said you were going to do it and you did it. And so that when you said that doing the spin instructor thing, I was like, oh my gosh, that is a moment that really like you cling on to those, and those make you feel powerful.
You can't buy that. It's like, and no one can do it for you. That's how you
know. It's not instant gratification. Like the instant gratifications we go through in the day-to-day now is, you know, the social media, the drinking, the fast food, the casual sex, the anything that's quick dopamine, right? But then that long-term gratification of like putting hundreds of hours into a certification.
Yeah, that no one else could do for you. It's the best feeling ever.
You can't just say, hey girl, I'm actually not feeling it today. The vibes are off, right? Yeah. Like the Gen Z vibe. Like, sorry, it's raining. I actually can't come.
Or like, hi, I'm hungover. I can't come teach on Saturdays. Nope, that's not going to fly. So it's helped me prioritize my life too, definitely.
It's funny because I texted you, now that I think about it, I texted you when I decided that I was quitting my job and moving back to Toronto. And you were like, you go, girl. Like, you were just so like, yep, just another day. We're disrupting our lives. And I don't think I realized in that moment how you are like my girlfriend who will get disrupting your life every whatever quarter or whatever. Yeah. Because that has made you to where you are today. And it's something that you've embraced, where there's people in my life that haven't quite understood the disruption. Like, you have it so good. Why would you do X, Y, Z?
Exactly. My dad, I was talking to him a month ago, and my business is now finally reaching like a stable place, which has taken this long. You know, the fitness is amazing. I've got great friends here. I have a nice apartment. I'm just like, Dad, I'm feeling super called to move again. And he's just like, Megan, you are addicted to chaos, but it's because I'm sensing another plateau coming. So it's just always chasing the next goal, which can be great, but you also got to watch it. So I'm really trying to work on being present and thankful for everything at all times, and also just being proud of myself instead of just constant, like throw into the next. Yeah. It's a balanced journey.
For sure. How do you celebrate your wins?
Oh, how do I sell? Well, I love to share, honestly, with my close friends. You know, I've definitely found my friends that are genuinely cheering for me and very happy for me. I think it's been a journey also to understand which friends you can share your wins with and which ones you should not, because everyone is going through their own shit. So not trying to make anyone feel like they're not doing enough with my wins. So I've definitely found my friends through that. Now that travel's back, I love traveling. So booking a trip is amazing. But even going back to the day-to-day, like, hey, I'm having a really good day. Things are going well. I'm going to book Barry's Bootcamp at noon, and then I'm going to take myself to lunch, and then I'm going to go lay out in my bathing suit at the park. Like, it doesn't necessarily need to be an elaborate trip. It's just like,
we have so many things in common.
It's the wellness and also social life. It's like
100%. Yes. And yeah. still having that time away, but still being yes. a part of like social interactions. Exactly. I think that actually is something I'm missing truly in my life, because in Vancouver, like Vancouver's notorious for being a very unfriendly city. And I live alone and I worked from home. So it was really weird to kind of gain that like sense of community and connection.
Yeah. And it can be hard, but once you find the good friends, you got to never let them go. And I'm very grateful for the few that I have. You of them definitely being one of them.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Likewise. And I mean, you introduced me to Ride Cycle Club.
Yes. Which
it's now that I think back on it, like I think I was still drunk from the night before, like almost threw up, like literally wanted to die. Like I was truly, I think of that day and it's something I'll never forget, because I was also though, like it was so powerful. And we went to the instructor, who is still my favorite instructor to this day.
Yes.
And she was just so, I don't even know how to describe her. And I feel like I haven't been to your classes either, but you exude the same energy for your classes.
Yes.
And it was just this confidence and power that this woman had while being so fit and so strong and tough. Like it just was so amazing. And I remember being in the back, so thankful it was a black room, because I was wanting to die. But it was one of the most exhilarating like workouts I'd ever done. And just seeing like the choreo in this like very dim lit lighting kind of room, and everyone's moving at the same time. It was like this weird thing that I'd never experienced before. Like I'd been to rhythmic classes before, but there was something about this experience that like lit my soul and everything else inside of me on fire.
I hope for with everyone, if it's not spin, you know, whatever it might be. But I think for me, for spin, because I enjoy going out and partying so much, that spin was actually, I was like, oh wow, we have like the music, the lights, like I feel like I'm in a nightclub and I'm getting this high endorphin after. So I don't know.
It makes you feel like you're kind of in a rave, like dancing and stuff. Like it's fun.
Exactly. It's a healthy way of doing it. So
100%. That was actually a major outlet. Now that I don't think I've ever actually said this out loud, but it was a major outlet for me when I took 6 months off drinking, because it made me feel like I was in a nightclub.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to explain myself why I wasn't drinking.
Yes.
No one's talking to me. It was great. You know, you get to just kind of have this experience, and it's like collective, but also individual as well. And it's a really cool thing to be a part of. And I mean, I've kept up with it and continued. And I mean, I would love to eventually be an instructor myself, because it was, I had that same thing with the first class I went to. I was like, I want to do that.
Oh my God.
So we had a lot in common.
To be clear, do not have a fitness background. When I was growing up, when we had to do the mile in PE, I would like cry and I would be one of the last ones. So don't think you can't do it.
Wait, so you shared this now on the podcast. With both things of PR and fitness, you weren't originally in those fields at all.
No, this is not. But when the universe pulls you towards something, you just got to listen. If I was super stubborn and was like, no, I'm supposed to be a hotel GM and I'm supposed to do this and move every year, that I wouldn't be happy. So, you know, your intuition always knows.
Did you ever have anyone telling you to kind of keeping you at bay of where you're at?
Oh, all the, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely. And this kind of goes back to, it sucks, but sometimes there are people that you've had in your life for a while, or it's people who can be very close to you. I'll maybe leave it at that, who are uncomfortable with your growth, or who just don't understand that I actually am very happy working 12 hours every day. I can be very happy doing 3 workouts every day. I am very happy, you know, being on for long periods of time. And I recognize that that is definitely not for everyone. And when you're trying to explain yourself too much and validate, that's when you're going to start questioning it yourself. So you just need to respect that, like, listen, I think we just want different things in life. And I'm probably not a great influence on them either. They're like, why does this girl want to go out 4 times a week? This is not normal. So finding your people and when you find them, then you know it's that extra mm-hmm. little validation of like, okay, I'm not crazy. I am on the right path. Like I have people supporting me, but yeah. you just can't let other people get to you. And that's definitely easier said than done.
Absolutely. Do you have something that you do? I mean, I know fitness is a huge part of your life. Is there any other practices that you do in your regular routines that help you connect with yourself and living intentionally?
Yeah, I think my best thinking always happens on walks. So, you know, I'll put my favorite little playlist on, I'll go for a long walk, and I just find that's when it's like, okay, some clarity starts to come. And then going back to also my trusty lists, I have to write everything down. So it's like, okay, what are the priorities? What do I need to do to get there? And just keeping everything on track. And going back to my friends too, I have one really amazing friend, bless her, but literally 3 times a day, I'll be like, can I call you? And it's just like word vomit where I'm like, what should I do? And she answers every time. And she's an amazing support for me. So I honestly wish those kind of people for everyone, because I couldn't.
That's incredible. Yeah. It sounds like a huge theme for you. And I actually think this is for me as well, as getting out of your head and into your body.
Yes. Yeah. Movement does not need to be Barry's boot camp or crazy spin classes. Like it can just be a simple walk. And like, you know, not every workout needs to be a full hour either. Just 10, 15, 20 minutes. I always feel way better after. I definitely struggle with anxiety. So yeah. I've found channeling the energy into a workout.
Yes.
And people think I'm crazy. They're like, why do you work out every day? Like you're addicted to exercise. It's like, I'm not doing Barry's boot camp 7 times a week. Like I'll go.
But also, what is addiction? Like, what does that even mean? Because there's a lot of things that we're addicted to in our society that I would not deem as healthy. So So it's okay to spend 12 hours a day on TikTok, but not do two workouts a day.
No. So it's just like, that's an example of some things I've had to just shut out. It's like, listen, you don't know why I'm working out. It's actually not for physical. It's
my biggest thing is like, what the hell do you do with your hair?
Yeah.
How do you wash it? I'm like, how does this girl do this?
I honestly just let it go. I'm like, whatever, you know what?
So just, you have to detach from it.
Yeah. Just let it go. When I go to events, I will obviously wash it. But you know, besides that, it's yeah.
Okay. I
care less what people think. I'm like, you know what?
I really admire this. No, I love this because you know what? When you're so in alignment, you're not really giving a fuck about that. So
yeah, I want to go for my workouts and my hair can't handle being washed every day. So I'm sorry, but.
Okay. No, I love this. I'm in the same boat. I've gotten off that boat for a bit because I used to be in so like heavy, like CrossFit and stuff like that. And I just embraced the hair at that point. But since COVID, my relationship with working out and stuff like that had shifted. And now that I'm getting back into more of that high intensity, I'm like, how do these people do this? I forgot that it's kind of a struggle sometimes, but dry shampoo is your best friend.
Dry shampoo, yes. The Bumble and Bumble post-workout dry shampoo.
Okay.
Smells amazing. So yeah.
That's a good rec. I love that. I'm going to have to try that one. I've been using the Kerastase one, but I'm always looking for a new one. Okay. My last question for you, Megan. What would you tell your younger self?
Oh man, that's a loaded one. I think I've gone through so much personally and professionally for a long time now. It hasn't ever been super easy, to be honest, even though I think right now it looks like I'm living the life and everything comes easy to me, but just be confident in yourself, know that you have it. Trust your abilities. You don't need to be friends with everyone. You don't need everyone to love you. Like, as long as you are happy within yourself, you have your goals, you're staying focused, you have a couple of great people behind you, that's really all you need. And just to keep taking the risks. When you feel the calling, just follow it.
Oh, I love it. That's you're going to have to like take that clip and then listen back to that when you're feeling low.
Every morning.
No, I love that. Britney Spears. Oh, I love that so much. And I mean, I've been a fan of you since I've met you, but a fan from afar since I've been in Vancouver. I'm so excited that I'll be in Toronto so that we can finally like come to Sweat and Tonic and come to your Britney classes.
Yes.
But I am so grateful to have you here. And thank you so much for sharing your story and your honesty. I think this is going to be a really inspirational episode for all of the listeners. Where can everyone find you? Pimp yourself out.
Yes. Okay. Favorite question here. So Instagram is definitely the best option. So it's Megan, M-E-G-A-N, V-D-B-A-A-R-S. So I'm working on TikTok. Please don't look at it yet, but that will also be coming soon. And then to follow my business, it's VDB Communications, also on Instagram and on the website. And of course, anyone who ever wants to reach out, if you are interested in getting into PR or you're already in PR, I'm looking for contractors. So my email is on my Instagram and the website.
Amazing. I'll have that linked below, guys. So if you missed it, it'll be linked below and you can just click the link and it'll take you directly. So super easy. Hyperlinks are everyone's best friend. And Megan, it was such a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for being here. As always, guys, you can find me at the Not So Average Betch and at For What For Who podcast. New episode every Monday. And as always, love yourself, love others, and wash your fucking hands. I'll see you next Monday. Bye, guys.